You're listening to a public forum on Rhode Island Public Radio in concert with Brown University's Calvin. Thank you. Joining me is architect and urban designer Jack Robbins, Boston Red Sox senior executive Charles Steinberg, and sports economist Victor Matheson from Holy Cross College. And we're talking about the Paw Sox and the team's proposed move to Providence. Let's talk a little bit about the end game. There was a strong public backlash against the Paw Sox initial proposal. Dr. Charles Steinberg, is this going to make it impossible for Rhode Island politicians to support this proposal?
Well, I don't know that. But I know that what we'd like to do is say you have, what, 1,055,000 people in Rhode Island. This may sound facetious, but it's the sincere intent. If we're meeting with, what, 200, 250 people tonight, let this be the beginning of a discussion statewide, and let there be participation in the discussion. Again, the last thing I wanted was someone coming and telling me what was good for me, you know? And I thought that I liked what we had, but it turns out that a vision that I didn't have, if you're gonna make me have a new ballpark, I wanted something out in the suburbs. Well, it turns out that it wound up being beautiful, and that's why I had the zeal of the convert and, you know, went out to San Diego and we did it there too. So I think if we just spend time talking to folks, we know that these are great Red Sox fans. When you're working inside Fenway Park, and we're at staff meetings, there is not a discussion about Boston fans and Massachusetts fans. If there is, in fact, it's Lucchino who has often said with vigor, the fans in Rhode Island are among our most passionate fans. And I may have met some of these folks, you'll tell me afterwards, when we've come down with the trophies and when we've come down for caravans, and there have been wonderful stories. I mean, we went to Warwick, Rhode Island in 2004. It was a story that I won't use all 19 minutes telling you, but we've had wonderful experiences with folks in Rhode Island who do profess a love of baseball, whether it's the Paw Sox or the Red Sox. And I think we would just like to engage everybody in the state in a good communal discussion. And we love representative government. You know, your electeds will make the decision that's best for Rhode Island. But that's what we'd like to see.
Let's go to Victor. The audience seems a little skeptical about the wisdom of their elected officials. Victor Matheson, how do you calibrate the impact on Rhode Island politicians of the sharp backlash against the Paw Sox initial proposal?
Well, I think the deal was probably handled somewhat poorly by the new owners. Again, these are owners that had only been around for a couple months when they announced, with fairly vigorously that they will not be staying under any circumstances at up in Pawtucket. And then asking for a large handout. Again, owners that are brand new to the area asking for money immediately out of the gate. And then essentially kind of a veiled threat saying, if we don't get what we want, boy, Springfield would be a beautiful place, and I hear Worcester is nice this time of year. And I think that went... It is. I'm from Holy Cross, yes. And I think that went over poorly.
Victor Matheson, does the negative reaction for the initial proposal make it less likely the Paw Sox will stay in Rhode Island?
I don't think they're moving, but the reason I don't think they're moving is I don't see the folks in Worcester. I don't see the folks in New Haven. I don't see the folks in Springfield ponying up huge amounts of money for a new stadium either. So remember, to move, you both have to want to go, but also you need somewhere to go.
Now, Jack Robbins, I get the sense that you're fairly neutral on the Paw Sox proposal, but you're as an urban planning expert, you must be sensitive to the impact of public opinion. It was recently reported that 98% of the communication to the governor's office here in Rhode Island was hostile to the Paw Sox initial proposal. How do you see that influencing politicians' behavior?
Well, I think that the reaction is good in the sense that it buys some time. I think that this is a proposal that needs to be studied, it needs to be examined, it needs to be studied by people who will look at it independently. You need to look at the traffic, you need to figure out if there is some other place that the stadium could go, if there's some other place that the park could go. And I think it's important to have that discussion and that dialogue that you've mentioned, and to let that have enough time to really find what the best solution is, both for the team and the city.
Charles Steinberg, we seem to be hearing a lot of skepticism on the part of our audience tonight about the merits of the PawSox proposal. What is your pitch to the skeptics out there on why this is a good thing?
I don't blame you. I was you, it's that's why you describe it as a beginning. It took me a while to come around to the idea of a downtown ballpark, and I fully understand that. And I don't disagree with that being a starting point. What I have the perspective of, the difference, the experience of, and what Larry Lucchino clearly has the experience in, is seeing what success looks like.
All right, let me ask you about that, because you're a lifelong baseball guy. Tell us about the track record of AAA ballparks elsewhere in the country. Would you argue that in terms of new AAA ballparks, the record is more one of success, or those projects not living up to their advanced billing?
You're hearing good things about Durham, about El Paso, about Indianapolis. There's maybe seven or eight that the Providence Foundation did a great and thorough study. We haven't built a AAA ballpark before, but no one had built a ballpark like Camden Yards before. And when we went to San Diego, I wondered whether it was going to be like or look like Camden Yards. And Larry taught, no, that's not the point. The point is not for it to be red brick and green steel everywhere you go. The point is for it to look and feel and smell and taste like its city. So Petco Park looks nothing like Camden Yards, and it resonates beautifully in San Diego. So what you want to do is perhaps build something that hasn't been built before. We're not ones to say, oh, here was U.S. Cellular, let's build it like that. In fact, when the architects at the time brought Lucchino the model of their first proposal for Camden Yards, they were using what is now called U.S. Cellular as the example. HOK was making both. Larry started to break the model. He started to rip it. And they said, do you know how expensive this model is? Do you know how expensive it would be to undo the ballpark if you build it this way? So there is innovation. There's imagination. There's a new kind of ballpark that is more than a ballpark, that is multi-purpose, that does have a design with football in mind, too, that does have a design for lacrosse in mind, too, that does have in mind clubhouses or locker rooms for your scholastic participants or your college participants.
Okay, we got it. And let's get Victor Matheson in. Is Charles Steinberg talking about something realistic in terms of a new, different kind of minor league ballpark that's an economic catalyst, or is this a unicorn?
Well, so look, we've seen some good examples of parks that really have been built well into the urban landscape. The most recent one in the International League, where the Paw Sox play, is in Charlotte. That's a new ballpark, and there's been all sorts of new development right around that. Of course, what's going on there is that's a ballpark built at the same time that light rail has gone through the exact region where that ballpark is as well. And so is this a ballpark that is generating development, or is this a ballpark that is benefiting from the fact that other smart general infrastructure decisions are being made by the folks down in North Carolina?
I've got an urban planning environmental issue that I think might be in Jack Robbins' wheelhouse, so I'm going to ask him about it. The Providence Journal reported last month on how a Paw Sox ballpark on the I-195 land could unravel 2 years of work by multiple state agencies to create a master environmental permit. The idea is that this master environmental permit would help to make other development easier to proceed with. So how do you parse out the value of that master environmental permit versus a possible AAA ballpark?
Yeah, it's certainly an issue that will have to be addressed if the ballpark goes ahead. My understanding is that the park site designated to be the sort of collection point for all of the stormwater in the area. So that, along with various other environmental studies that have been done and zoning and permits that have been based on that environment and work would need to be redone. I don't know the details of the process here and how much that would entail. I don't think that should be the basis for deciding whether to do this or not. It really has to be a question of whether it's a good thing for the city. If it is a good thing for the city, there are ways to solve those problems. The same kind of creativity that's being talked about in the design of ballparks can be applied to the design of infrastructure to solving environmental issues as well.
Charles Steinberg, I know this issue is a little bit in the weeds, but would you want to weigh in on whether that master environmental permit, whether the Paw Sox would strive to incorporate that in some other way or make up for it?
Well, I'm sure I don't know that answer either, and I'm looking over at Jeff White, who's here, and I don't know if I was dial a lifeline to give you the answer. But I don't know that answer. And maybe you want to stop me before I
That's fine. I know that, as I said, I knew that issue
story
was a bit obscure and a bit in the weeds. One other question raised on the economic front is whether going from Pawtucket to Providence would merely be a transfer of jobs, transfer of wealth without really stimulating something new. What do you say to that, Charles Steinberg?
Well, I think that if you were looking at this as an independent, inert ballpark that operated 70 to 74 times a year, you would at least have the basis for an argument. That's not this point. That's not this idea. That's not this vision. This vision is to use, look, I love baseball. I fully admit that. I'm very proud of our game. When the game of baseball and the architecture of a well-designed ballpark can turn what would have been a 70 or 72 use facility into a year-round destination and venue unto itself and something that spawns the businesses around it. This would be an altogether different flavor of ice cream.
Do you agree, Victor Matheson?
No. Look, Charles is right. If you have the stadium in fact, cause all sorts of local neighborhood development, then that's right. But otherwise, you really are talking about relocating jobs 5 miles. Not that that's the worst thing in the world, but it's not a great thing for $85 billion of taxpayer money.
Let's talk briefly about the initial part of the initial request. It was for a 30-year tax exemption in Providence. Providence needs more tax revenue. Dr. Steinberg, we hear these kind of requests are pretty common in minor league baseball. Is that your view, and does that justify it?
I don't think it's any longer relevant, because I think you are starting over. You're starting from scratch. There is a reset. There is a new beginning. And everything I've heard, I haven't met the governor, but everything I've heard is that, you know, she is a brilliant person. The process through which what I've heard is that there is also a top-notch tier one team that she's assembled to negotiate with Lucchino, who is a very competent negotiator, and the desired end is a fair agreement. The desired end is something that is a victory for Rhode Island. That's why you do it. And so I just have faith that bright people together will be able to craft an agreement that is designed to be good. That's what our success has been elsewhere.
When will we hear more details on the revised proposal from the Paw Sox?
I don't know.
Let's go to Jack Robbins. You're an urban planning expert. People can speculate about whether the Paw Sox initial proposal was deliberately way up here so it could be scaled back to something that would attract more public support. Do you have any suggestions for the citizens of Rhode Island and how they should look at this process moving forward?
I think there are two things I would say. One is that make sure that you're asking the right question. And again, I think the question is not whether there should be a stadium or not, but what's the best place for a stadium to go, and what's the best use for this piece of land? And if those two things align, great. The other thing I would say, and as I think I said this before, is that the devil is in the details, and you have to pay very close attention to exactly how the stadium is designed, how the area around it is designed. Do they work together? Is there retail facing the street, retail that's going to be active year-round, not just when there's a game on? Where is the parking? How do people get from the parking to the stadium? What other transportation options are there? All of these things. It's not a quick answer. It's not an easy answer. It's complicated. It takes a lot of work and a lot of study.
Charles Steinberg, you wanted to add
just
something?
A short thing. When we were designing Petco Park, there was this big poster, and I don't think Lucchino knows to whom it's attributed, but it was a big poster, and it said, God is in the details. And that was exactly it. We agree with you wholeheartedly that the details have been what have made the ballparks so fun to design and then so rewarding to see the animation of the area around them. It is all in the details. A well-designed ballpark in the right location that does the most good for the people. That's what you love.
And I just should say that you could have a well-designed ballpark in the right location that does all of those things, and the financial deal can still not be a good deal. It's both sides of it.
And that's where my faith is. My faith is that between the governor and Lucchino, they're bright people. It's within the wit of mankind to get a good agreement done.
Victor Matheson, we know you don't have a better crystal ball than anyone, but where do you see this going? Do you think it's possible the Paw Sox might eliminate their request for a public subsidy or come in with a request for a very low public subsidy?
I can't obviously answer that. I will say that 80% of minor league ballparks, almost all minor league ballparks have been publicly financed, with roughly 80% of construction costs being covered by the public, and almost every minor league park is exempt from property tax. But that does not mean that that is what should be done. That is simply what is done. I would at the very least, hope for a situation where you have a very minimal public contribution with lots of room to negotiate about how much property tax maybe this new facility should pay.
And this process has been playing out behind closed doors. People from the Paw Sox have suggested they don't want to negotiate this in public. Is it realistic to think that there could be a more open process, or not so much?
There's lots of things to be done in the negotiation level behind closed doors. But when the actual deal comes out, there better be some transparency, and there better be some time for the public to be able to voice concerns and have that come out. We better not see, and this is the one thing I will personally say, is we better not see, we have now signed a deal and this is what it is. I think that is a disservice to Rhode Island. Whether it's no money or lots of money, I think that would be a disservice.
Final word, Charles Steinberg?
Final word, I think, would be investment. I hear you say public subsidy. That's not the point. The point is, no. Well, you asked it for the final
word.
We're
very short on time, Dr. Steinberg.
No, it's true. There are public benefits. There are private benefits. There are public benefits. There is private investment. There is public investment.
Ten seconds.
Let's do 9, 8. Let's just do what's good for Rhode Island. I believe we can do that.
Our time is up, so we have to say goodbye. Thank you to our panel, Charles Steinberg, Victor Matheson, and Jack Robbins. Thank you to Marissa Quinn and Jim Marone and everyone at the Taubman Center and Brown University, our interim general manager at Rhode Island Public Radio, Susan Greenhalgh, and our news director, Elizabeth Harrison, chief engineer, Aaron Reed, and you, our audience. You've been a great audience. Please give yourself a hand.